in the entire Bible. Pretty much everybody in this room probably knows it by heart. But in case you don't, you can go to John 3:16. See what I'm saying? Even sinners, the rankest of sinners, know John 3:16. It is the most famous verse in the Bible. And it just simply says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That, you read it. Oh, there's so much in that right there. For God so, it's a little bitty word, but watch it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, today I thank you for everything you're about to do and say in our midst. Lord, we've just set everything aside to hear you today. Many people are watching online. Many are here. Many will listen to this CD later. But Lord, we have set aside this moment before we get into all of the festivities of our families and friends and exchanging gifts and eating more than we probably should. We just thank you for this moment. Now speak to us because we want to hear you. I believe every word in your word is pregnant. So I'm asking you, Lord, to let every word become a rhema word. And let it speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl in every section in a different way. Speak to us according to our need, according to the way that we need to hear it. And we'll give you the praise because nobody could do all of that but you. So bless your word today and bless the preacher today that I can declare it in this house in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. On your way down, I want you to touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, it's the good news in a nutshell. Tell somebody else it's the good news in a nutshell. I bet you didn't think you were going to come to church and hear that, but that's exactly what it is. This Christmas Eve morning, I wanted us to look at this most famous verse in the scripture for a couple of different reasons. John 3:16, number one, it explains the reason for Christmas. That's what John 3:16 explains. And it is also, if you can understand it, it is the entire Bible in one sentence. It is the entire Bible in one sentence. Now, if you only are going to understand one verse of the Bible, one verse out of the entire Bible, then I would suggest to you that you might want it to be what we just read today, John 3:16, because this verse is the gospel. This is the mission. This is the good news that he came to bring, and he came to do it and give it to us. It's the good news that is in a nutshell. So let's look into this particular passage of scripture for just a few moments, and let's see what we can unwrap. We're going to unwrap some things in this particular passage of scripture. Unwrap, no pun intended, but we're going to unwrap, okay? The Bible tells us that God so loved the world. So if you don't mind taking notes, you need to write this down today. That number one, what we have discovered in this verse already is the greatest love. The greatest love. Write that down because you'll be happy you did a little bit later. God so loved the world, the greatest love. Now that tiny word, I told you to watch it a moment ago, that tiny word so, it's tiny, but it's a really big deal. Because in the original Greek, it is what they call an adverb of intensity. It's an adverb of intensity, intensity, meaning that it is a whole lot. It's a little word, but wrapped up in that little word is a whole lot. I'm not trying to sound like Santa Claus, a whole, but there is so much wrapped up in that one little word. And if we just read the Bible verse by verse or line by line, we miss so much of what God wants us to see in the scripture. So you have to break it down and you have to read it word by word. And for example, when I say it so much, it's like this. If a man, ladies, where y'all at today? You're here today. If a man says, I love you, it gets your attention, right? Y'all are hard. Y'all are hard to get. Now, when a man tells me, I love you, it gets your attention. But when he says, I so love you, whoo, he gets a little more of my attention, right? I so love you. Because it seems as if it takes on a whole different connotation. And the reason that it gets our attention when he does it like that is because it is an adverb of intensity. So God's love for you is completely like that. His love for you is absolutely insane. He is madly in love with you. See, we got God sitting off in a heaven somewhere, just watching down on the earth, waiting for us to mess up. And when we mess up, he reaches down and he hits us with the ugly stick and our life is ruined from that point on if we don't immediately stop and repent and change our ways. So we have God sitting in the heavens and we tend to see him as a judge. But the truth of the matter is that God who sits in the heaven, he first sees us through the eyes of a father. Okay? And a father understands that that child is going to make a mistake. And so they're not out to kill the child, but they are out to correct the child because they don't want the child to miss the whole thing in the end. So God's love for us, if you don't get rid of that picture of him as a judge standing there writing, oh, there she goes. She said that word again. You know, if we don't get rid of God's, of thinking that God is like that, we will totally miss how much he loves us. He is insanely in love with me. He is intense with his love. He is fervent with his love. He is fierce with his love. He is unfailing with his love for me. He is strong. He is supreme with his love for me. That means he is marvelous with his love. He's matchless. Nobody will ever love me. Not a man, not a woman, not a friend, not a child. Nobody will ever love me to the degree that he is going to love me. His love is unparalleled. His love is unsurpassable. And no one will ever love me or you quite like he does. Somebody say amen. Knows everything there is to know about you. You know, some people, it's like when you first meet them, you think, God, if they ever find that out about me, they're going to walk out of my life and they're going to leave me. But God says, you don't have to worry about that with me because I know everything about you. I know everything you've done. I know everything you're going to do. I know everything that you have the potential to do. I know all of that about you and I will never, ever, ever stop loving you. Ephesians 1:4 says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, God had us in his mind. Long before he laid the earth's foundations, he had us. And where were we? We were in his mind and he settled on us. He settled on you. He settled on me. He settled on us as the focus of his love. Long before he made the world, he had you on his mind and he made you for a reason. And the reason that he made you like he made you is because he loves you like he loves you. Now, the main reason that you and I exist in the earth today is because God wanted a family. Can you believe that? That God wanted a family. He said, I want a family. And he made you his child so that he could love you. Parents that are in this room right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You wanted a child. And so you ended up carrying a child. And before, if you're like me, before I ever knew what the gender of my children were, I already loved them. Before I ever knew what color hair or if they'd have hair, I already loved them. I felt them move in me, and I loved them. Didn't know anything about them, but I loved them. I loved them in advance, okay? I said I loved them in advance of their arrival. God loved you in advance of your arrival. And so even to this day, often in my conversations with my girls, they will end and they'll say, I love you, Mom. And I'll say, I'll say to them, I love you. They'll say, I love you more. And I'll say back to them, but I loved you first. That shuts that right down. And they always say, that ain't fair, Mom. But I did. It may not be fair, but it's the truth. I loved you first. That's how God is. He loved us first. God loved you before he ever created you. And he had you on his mind and he had you in his heart. That means he's always loving you, and he always has, and he always will love you. And not only does he love you, but according to Psalms 145, it says that the Lord is good. He's good to everyone, and he showers his compassion on all of his creation. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'm going to shower my compassion on those that are religious. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm going to shower my compassion on those that are rich, or those that are righteous, or those that are cute, or those that are fancy. No, he said, I'm going to shower my compassion on all of his creation. He does that because he is a gift giver by nature, and everything that we have in our life is a gift that came from God. The air that we just breathe, that is a gift that came from God. Somebody, don't wait to have to be in a hospital on a breathing machine before you recognize that the air you breathe is a gift from God. The water that we drink is a gift from God. Somebody around the world is dying for a drink of water. Oh, the water that we leave 3/4 of the bottle sitting on the shelf, and now nobody knows whose water that is, and we end up having to throw it out. That makes me so mad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be fussing right now, but my mind just went there. But he is the water that we drink, the sunshine that warms us on a cold day. That is a gift from God. Somebody said, I don't know what I got to thank God about. How about thanking him because he's a cloud that shields you? Hello. How about thanking him because he's the food that we eat? How about thanking him because the heartbeat that you feel in your chest right now, that ain't nothing but a gift from God. He gave it to you, and he gave it to you today because he has a plan for you today, and his love is eternal. And the greatest thing about it is that his love is not conditional. I said his love is not conditional. You can fail and he'll still love you. You can be disobedient and he'll still love you. You can make the worst mistake in your life and people might stop loving you, but God said, I will never, ever, ever stop loving you. His love is divine. It is not human. It's not human love. Because I want to tell you something about human love. Human love gives out. Okay, y'all don't believe it. Human love runs on. Human love, it doesn't always work out. Human love wears out. You get tired. You get exhausted. And the reason it wears out and runs on, and the reason that it doesn't always work out, is because it is conditional. It is, many times human love is conditional, but God's love is completely unconditional. And he said nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. No weariness, no, none of my weariness, the things that would make God weary about me. He says, I ain't worrying about that. I'm not studying about that. That'll never stop me from loving you. Nothing. Somebody shout nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can make him ever stop loving you. Why? Because his love is not based on who you are. His love is based on who he is. It's not based on what you do or what I do, but his love is not based on our performance. You can be the best performer in the church choir, on the stage, in the dance, whatever you do. You can be the best of the best, but God said, that's not why I love you. My love is not based on your performance or your talents. My love is not based on your skill. He says, I love the person that can't carry a tune in the bucket as much as I love the person that can set the whole room on fire with their voice. He loves us no matter what. He isn't waiting for you to be nice to somebody before he loves you. He isn't waiting for you to straighten up and fly right in order for him to love you. He loves you like he loves you, because it ain't even about you. It is about him. His love is based on who he is and not on the performance that we try to give him. He loves us on our good days. He loves us on our bad days. He loves you when you feel it, and he loves you when you don't feel it. Listen, that's important. You have to know, maybe you're in a season that says, I don't feel God right now. Well, let me tell you something. Whether you feel it or not, his love is the same. Why is it the same? Because he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so before he ever created you, and before he ever created the universe, he knew that on Christmas Eve morning 2017, that you would be here sitting in the Potter's House, North Dallas, or tuning in to the Potter's House, North Dallas, over 2017 years ago. He knew you would be here so he could get you in a quiet place, so he could get you out of the mall, so that he could get you out of the house, so that he could get you into this moment, so that he could settle you down enough, so that he could get your attention to tell you, hey, you matter to me. Think about that. God wants somebody to know, you matter to me. You mean the absolute world to me. Yes, you, I'm talking about you. I love you. I don't care who don't love you. I will always love you. You, Whitney can't sing that like God can sing it. I will always love you. He said, I will love you because I'm the one that thought you up. I thought you up. I thought you up. I pictured you, and I made you, and I breathed into your life. I'm the one that saw you take your first breath. I saw you in your mother's womb. I watched you when you took your first step. I was there. I was there when I watched, and I watched you fall. I've seen it all. I've seen the good. I've seen the bad. I've seen the ugly. And I have never one time stopped loving you. Why? Because my love is sufficient enough to handle everything about you. Not just your good parts, but my love is sufficient to handle every bad thing about you. Every little dirty thing that you're doing right now that you don't want nobody to know anything about. God said, I see it, and guess what? I still love you, because my love is a forever kind of love. My love is unfailing. My love is a multi-dimensional love, and my desire for you is that you may be able to feel and to understand just how long and how wide and how deep and how high that God's love really is, and experience it for yourself. That's Ephesians 3. Notice that he doesn't say that he wants you to know he loves you, but he says, I want you to experience this love. He doesn't say, I just want you to have head knowledge that I love you. He said, I want you to have heart knowledge that I love you. You can tell the difference between people that have head knowledge and people that have heart knowledge. People that have heart knowledge come in, and it don't matter where they sit. They can be all the way back over here. They can be right in the middle. They can be way over here, and it doesn't matter. When worship breaks out, they throw up their hands, and they're pressing their way into the presence of God. Why? Because they have more than head knowledge. They have a heart knowledge. It's not that they don't know that they should worship him. They know that, but they also know that that by itself is not enough. I want to worship him. I know I should, and I want to, because he was there for me. You weren't there the night he found me. You weren't there when he wrapped his arms around. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box, but he knows. And when you ever experience the outrageous, eternal, unconditional, lavish love of God, I promise you, it changes you forever. You will worship different. You will praise different. You will serve different. I'm telling you, it's different. How many can I get a witness in here? When God changes you, not in your head, but when he changes you in your heart, it changes everything about your life. And my prayer for you this Christmas Eve morning is that you will know and you will experience how wide and how long and how deep and how high the love of God is for you on a personal level. How long is it, Pastor? It's long enough to last forever. That's how long it is. How wide is it, Pastor Brady? It's wide enough to reach you wherever you find yourself in life. Wherever life takes you, his love is wide enough to still surround you. How deep is his love? His love is so deep that you will never sink down to a low point that he can't reach in and find you. Somebody said, but Pastor Brady, I feel like I'm in the pits. I feel like my life has bottomed out. But I say to you that there is no pit that God cannot reach down into and pull you out of. Somebody ought to witness right here. There is not a low that you can go to. There is not a low place that you can go to that his love cannot reach you. He will reach in and find you. He will pull you out. Well, how high is his love, Pastor Brady? It's high enough to overcome every hurdle that's trying to hold you back. Woo! He can help you overcome the hurdle of unforgiveness. He can help you overcome the hurdle of bankruptcy, the hurdle of foreclosure, the hurdle of sickness, the hurdle of loss, the hurdle of failure, the hurdle of the death of a loved one. I'm a living witness that God can help you. He can help you. His love is so high. He can help you overcome the hurdle of divorce. How can he do that? Because his love is the greatest love you will ever see in your life. The second thing that John 3:16 teaches us, write it down. It's not just the greatest love, but it teaches us about the greatest sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved that he gave. He so loved that he gave. So loving and giving go together. I said love and giving go together. Because you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you are with somebody that never gives anything back to you, I might look in another direction. Because you can't love me and not give to me. You can give to me and not love me, but you can't love me and not give to me. There'll be something in you that wants to give. Wherever you go, you'll look at something and you'll think about me. Why? Because you love me. Love will do that. Giving is the essence of love. I said giving is the essence of love. I love my grandchildren like crazy. So when I go into a store and I see something that I think would fit them, I buy it for them. If it ain't too expensive, I buy it for them. I got 9, y'all. I can't be. Whew. We got to find a way to add something to that to make it look a little better than it looks on the hanger. But we will do that because we're creative, you know. Hello. Ain't no sense in paying $100 for something you're going to grow out of in 2 weeks. Hello. I raised my kids on a consignment shop. I still go to consignment shops here. Don't be ashamed. I do. I went a couple weeks ago, loaded up on toys, brought them home, sterilized them, cleaned them, and set them in my living room. My babies played all day. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I'm a giver. And I don't want to give all my money to the department store. I want something when I come to the house of God to give to the Lord. You know why? Because I love Him. I love Him. You don't have to beg me to give anything. Tell me what we need. Tell me. Because I love Him and I'm happy to give it. He loved, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He came to earth to die for us. Have you ever heard the expression, if you want something done right, what is it? Do it yourself. That's exactly what God did. Woo, y'all, I said that's exactly what God did. He said, I am going to go solve this sin problem all by myself. I don't know about you, but I am grateful today that it does not say that God so loved the world that He sent a telegram, or that He sent an ambassador, or that He sent a text message, or that He sent an email. It says God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Who was that baby that was in the manger 2017 years ago? I'll tell you who He was. He was God in a human form. He was God with skin on. And the Bible says it like this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. I said Christ, the baby in the manger, was a visible image of the invisible God. Why did God come down to earth in a human form? And I'll tell you why. Because He wanted to communicate to us. He wanted to communicate to you and to me. And so He figured out the best way to do that is to become one of them. He didn't want to communicate with the birds, or He'd have became a bird. He didn't want to communicate with the fish, or He'd have became a fish. Instead, He wanted to communicate with you and with me. And so guess what He did? He became one of us. And He tapped on Mary's shoulder and said, Mary, I want to come into the earth, but I need to borrow your body for about 9 months. She said, be it unto me. I don't understand it, but be it unto me. And He climbed in through Immaculate Conception, but He climbed out, Emmanuel, God with. Woo! That's how bad He wanted to be with us. I said, that's how bad it was. If you ever want to know what God looks like, tell somebody, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus said, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. Woo. And if you've ever seen me, He said, you've seen God. I am God with skin on. I am coming to the earth in a human form. And when He came, it was so powerful that it split history down into. It went from AD to BC. That's a powerful coming right there. It was the most significant moment that ever came to earth, because in that moment God invaded the earth. I said, in that moment God invaded the earth. And I love the fact that He didn't say, you're in trouble, I'm gonna meet you halfway. Absolutely not. He didn't say, I'm gonna meet you in the middle. He didn't say, I'm gonna come to earth and I'm gonna check it out and then I'm gonna get out of here. No, He said, I'm coming and I'm gonna walk with you and I'm gonna talk with you, and I want to know what it's like to feel rejection, and I want to know what it's like to feel sick, and I want to know what it's like to feel like you're at the end of your rope. Why did He do that? Why did did he come as a baby? Surely there was a more grand way that God could have come into the earth. He could have come into the earth through a chariot. He could have come in the earth through a lightning bolt. He could have come riding on a cloud. He could have came in a big spaceship. But instead, he came as a baby. You ever think about that? Why? Someone that could have come in any form, he came as a baby. I'll tell you why he came as a baby. Because he came to save us and not scare us. And ain't nobody scared of a baby. Are y'all hearing me today? He didn't want to scare us, so he came to us in the form of a baby. But here's the problem. Most of us get stuck in that mentality. Most of us get stuck in that mind frame. Most of us won't let Jesus grow up. Most of us want to keep him meek, mild, and manger bound. Whew. And the reason that we want to keep him like that is because we can keep him cute, and we can keep him clean, and we can keep him controllable. Most people don't want to think that he has grown up, that he has went to a cross, that he suffered. Most people don't want to see that. They don't want to think that he bled and he died for their sin. And now he is demanding their allegiance. Let's just think of him as a baby. Oh, listen, that's where most people want to keep him. But if he'd have just stayed as a baby, the reason they want it like that is because if he'd have stayed as a baby, then we wouldn't have to worship and we wouldn't have to praise and we wouldn't have to come to church on Christmas Eve morning and we wouldn't have to give any of our money to the church. We wouldn't have to do any of that because all of that would be completely irrelevant if he just stayed a baby. But he didn't. Instead of staying a baby, he came into the earth. He took on a human form and he grew up. And let me tell you something. He did several things. He showed us a whole lot. He showed us what it was, what God was really like. He told us the truth about ourselves when we didn't even want to hear it. He came and he showed us the way, the truth, and the life. But the number one reason, somebody say number one. The number one reason that he came to earth was to die for us, to be rejected for us, to be spat on for us. He came to pay for your mistake. He came to die for my mistake. He came to die for sin. He died for your sin and your sin and your sin. And yes, he died for my sin. And guess what? He didn't have to die for sin. He wasn't forced to die for sin. He wasn't coerced into dying for sin. He chose to die for our sin, and he loved us. I said he loved us. That's why he did it. He did it because he loved us. And Romans 5 says God put his love on the line for us. In other words, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is now. That's what he's saying. I'm going to show, not just tell you how much I love you, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to put my love on the line for you by offering my son as in a sacrificial death while we were of, listen to this, while we were of no use to him. Woo! Why would he do it? Because he wants you to spend eternity with him. But the problem is, sin and God can't live together. So God said, I'll go to the earth for them. I'll be born in a manger for them. I'll grow up and I'll go to the cross for them. I'll bleed and I'll die and I'll pay the price for every sin, for every person. I'll do that for them. I'll be a savior for all of them. So on the first Christmas morning, the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior who is Christ the Lord. Look at somebody and tell them, I got just what I needed for Christmas. I needed a savior. I needed a savior who was Christ, The anointing. I needed the anointing. The Lord. I needed somebody to rule my life other than myself. And so when Jesus, 1 John 2:2 says, when Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not only yours, but for the whole world's sin. When he died so good that he said, I'll never have to die again. I don't care who comes or what kind of sin you come with. I don't ever have to die again. 2 Corinthians says that God took the sinless Christ and he poured into him our sins, and then in exchange he poured God's goodness into us. In other words, he who was sinless for the sin of the world became sin so that you and I could become righteous. So there we go. We see, number one, he's the greatest gift. Number two, it's the greatest sacrifice. The next thing we see is it's the greatest offer. For God so loved the world. That's the greatest love. That he gave his only begotten son. That's the greatest sacrifice. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whew, think about that. What a great offer that is. That's the greatest offer you will ever get. Have you noticed during the holiday season that everybody's trying to make you an offer? I mean, everybody. They send you catalogs. And they got you nailed down too. They know what you buy. They traced you. And they know what you buy. So they send you catalogs that got stuff in there that you like. That's how they do it. And they know you. They're marketing you half to death. So they'll send you catalogs. They'll send you, if you're crazy enough to give them your phone number, they'll send you text messages. Rates will apply. They will market you, and they'll say things like, if you shop here and you sign up for our rewards program, you will save tens of thousands of dollars. But see, when I add up what I'm gonna have to spend to save tens of thousands of dollars, then I realize that those are the types of savings that I can't afford to be saving. Hello? But on the other hand, God has an offer that you cannot afford to miss. You cannot afford to not accept his offer, because here was his offer. If you believe in me, you will not perish. Whew, it don't get no sweeter than that right there. And not only if you believe in me will you not perish, but he left it on a whosoever will basis. He said, I don't care who you are, where you live, what kind of money you make. I don't care what your family history is. I don't care anything about what you did, who you did it with, how long you did it. He said, that matters nothing at all. I don't care about the color of your skin. I don't care about your economical status. I don't care about your education. That means absolutely nothing to me. He said, I love you just like you are. And so I left this on a whosoever will basis. Hit somebody next to you and tell them, I will you. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you came from. Jesus is an equal opportunity savior. I said, Jesus is an equal opportunity savior. And the free gift, somebody say the free gift. The free gift of salvation is an offer that is made available to everybody. I told you, it don't matter how educated you are. You can be so smart that you're dumb if you don't recognize the gift that you got in Jesus. He said, I've laid the offer on the table. Or maybe I should say, I hung the offer on the cross. I laid it out there for you. I'm making you an offer. And if you believe in me, as the scripture has said, you shall not perish. So a smart person says, how do I accept that offer? How do I accept it? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The problem with that verse is we don't understand the real meaning of the Lord Jesus. Okay, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. See, we don't understand what that means, but it simply means I've changed ownerships. I've got a new manager. Okay? It means he's my boss now. It means tell somebody, I'm under new management. And while I'm under this new management, he's calling the shots in my life. So I want to go, but he's telling me I can't go. And so I submit to his lordship. And when I submit to his lordship and I do what he wants me to do, then I know him as the Lord Jesus in my life. I submit my life, my will, my desires, my passion. So in order to do that, I have to confess with my mouth and I have to believe where? Notice it doesn't say believe in your head. You've got to believe it in your heart. It's not good enough to have an intellectual understanding of Jesus in your mind. You have got to have an emotional connection with Jesus that is in your heart. So just saying that you believe in Jesus is not enough. Let me tell you something. The devil believes in Jesus, okay? So what does that word believe mean? It means to trust in him. It means to cling to him. It means to rely on him. It means I can't catch my next breath if you don't give it to me. It means that I have a relationship with him. And I ain't talking about, it means I got a friendship with him. And I'm not talking about friends like you have on Facebook, okay? Because you can have friends on Facebook and you don't even know them. Hello? I don't know where they live. I don't know what their likes are. I don't know what their dislikes are. I don't know their inner workings. I don't know what they desire. And I certainly have no intimate relationship with them. But I do have an intimate relationship with him. I do know him as the Christ. I know him, and I've known this man over 50 years in my life. He's my best friend, and I talk to him on a daily basis. That's why I ain't intimidated to talk to you. Who are you anyway? I just talk to God. He knows my name. I have a relationship with him. I don't have to close my eyes and say thou, thee, and they when I'm talking to him either. When I talk to him, I can talk to him like I talk to you. He can even hear the things that I'm not capable of saying. When my heart is overwhelmed and I just stand there and the tears pour down my face, I don't even have to say a word, but he knows, just like your mama knows, just like your best friend knows, just like your spouse knows. They'll put their arm around you and say, don't worry, you ain't got to say nothing. I know exactly how you feel. Well, that is how Jesus is. And I've developed a relationship. You've developed a relationship with him. And it's not just for us who are saved. It is for everybody. So let's recap this verse, the greatest verse in the Bible. For God so loved, that's the greatest love, that he gave his only begotten son. That's the greatest sacrifice. That whosoever believes in him would not perish. That's the greatest offer. Now this leads me to my last one. Number four. But he says shall have eternal life. That's the greatest gift. We've got the greatest love, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest offer. And the greatest gift. Many of the gifts that you or I will get this week, we probably will forget about them in 6 months. Maybe 3 months. Think about it. There's some gifts you got last year. You have no idea where they are, what they are, and who got them for you. But this is a gift that will last forever. Because it is the gift of eternal life. And only God has the ability to give you this gift. Eternal life is a gift from him. And to be honest, I know we got bright lights and we got sales and we got good food. We got friends and we got Christmas trees and we got all of that. But eternal life is what Christmas is all about. Tell somebody, keep the main thing the main thing. Christmas is all about the gospel. It's all about John 3:16. Christmas is just the good news in a nutshell. Every time you go to crack a nut over the holidays, remind yourself, this is the good news. When somebody cracks a nut near you, if you're nut cracking people, say to them, hey, you know the gospel in a nutshell comes to us in John 3:16. And it's only Jesus that can make that kind of offer to us. So in closing, somebody say closing. The reason that many of us will receive gifts over the next few days is because God gave the first Christmas gift. So the season is marked with the giving of gifts. Not because this is the time we buy our children the latest of everything. That's not what it's about. And if you're blessed, buy them the latest of everything by all means, if you can. But just don't forget to tell them what it's really about. Because the reason we exchange gifts is because he came and he gave us the best Christmas gift you will ever get in your life. That's where the whole giving thing got started. My question to you today is, how silly is it for you to go Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas and never open up the biggest gift you've ever got? The gift that came to us from God. Touch somebody and tell them, open your gift. Open your gift. First Peter said, because Jesus was raised from the dead. So now we're talking about the resurrection, because you can't have Christmas without a resurrection. And you can't have a resurrection without Christmas. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts right now. Right now. So as I close today, I want to ask you, what would stop you from accepting the gift of Jesus? Possibly fear. Fear of things that we don't understand. Oh, I'm afraid, I just don't understand. Well, you don't understand how your digestive system works either, but you keep eating. Hello? I mean, that's the truth, ain't it? That don't mean you ain't gonna eat. You know what? You just gotta do it by faith. And you gotta trust that it's gonna be what it is. It's gonna be like God made it to be. Parents didn't learn how to parent till they became a parent. But you had that baby anyway. I don't understand how a plane flies, but I get on it every time. Just believe in God. I don't have to understand it. Why is it when it comes to Christ, we want a clear understanding, but we do all kinds of stuff on every other level in our life without an understanding? I'll tell you why. Because the enemy wants you to miss that one perfect gift that's laying up under the tree. You don't have to understand it all. All you got to do is believe. You got to take it and believe. And over time, you'll start understanding. Do you hear me? I said over time, you'll start understanding. Jesus met a man. The man said, sir, my daughter is sick. Will you come to my house? She needs to be healed. What did Jesus say? He looked at the man and said, do you believe that I can heal her? And very honestly, the man said, I believe. But would you help thou my unbelief? In other words, I want to believe, but in order to believe, I need you to help my doubts. What did Jesus say? Bam, that's good enough. Go your way. Your child has been made whole. Woo! Y'all didn't hear me today. He's saying, if you'll even make an effort to believe, I will help you. I will help you. The parts of you that don't understand, I am just that powerful of God that I will help you to understand them. But don't worry about having to get it all up front. Just believe, accept me. And as you accept me, keep moving. And little by little, you'll grow in your relationship with me. Whew. Do y'all got those 4 points? The greatest love, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest offer, and the greatest gift. And they are all found up under the tree of life that God has wrapped up for you. One more time, I want you to jump up on your feet and tell everybody around you, open your gift. Creativity is in your gift. Creativity is in your gift. The way to survive 2018, it's all in the gift. The way to raise them children who are on your last nerve, it's all in the gift. The way to help them children that ain't really children anymore, it's all in the gift. You need healing, it's in the gift. You need deliverance, it's in the gift. You need freedom from a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. It's all found in the gift. You'll never do it by your own good works. You are incapable of doing that. But God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, what love. What love that he had for me. That he would take something so precious to his heart. And he would say, here. For you, your messed up self. Think about it. I was talking to somebody about grief this week. And they said, when you love hard, you grieve hard. When you love hard, you grieve hard. Don't you believe that God loved his son? Don't you believe that it had to break his heart to turn around? Think about your children. Think about somebody that you love. Think about somebody that you hold dear. Could you just take them and lay them on the altar and say, here. And then turn around and walk away? No, it would be difficult. It was difficult for him too. But he did it for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know who I am talking to. I don't know who I preach to today.